I Suck at Dating with Dean, Vanessa, and Jared, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Hey guys, thank you for tuning in to another episode of Help I Suck at Dating. Dean is in studio with me.
Thank you so much for tuning in. We're going to start with the intimacy expert. Her name is Elena Pratt.
Alana. Alana, you know what? It's so funny because you're Canadian, right, Alana?
Yes, I am. Yeah, I love
yeah. it. So, like, usually Americans will say, like, Alana, and I started using, like, that intonation, whatever it's called. But I'm like, yeah, she's Canadian, so it's Alana. How are you?
I know. I'm awesome. I remember when I interviewed Alanis Morissette, and I'm like, I used to say Alana Banana, but now I say, like, Alana
oh,
Morissette.
Nice.
Yeah, so it's great to be with you, too, beautiful, delicious people.
Thank you for calling in. Thank you for being part of the show with us today.
I love it. I love it. And it's so great to talk about what sucks about dating and be, you know, vulnerable and transparent and change some things for people out there.
Absolutely. So you're an intimacy expert. Can you define what that means?
Well, back, you know, I don't know if you ever saw that movie with Mike Myers, you know, Into Me I See. You know, it's kind of made fun of. But really, that's what it's about. Intimacy with self first. It's really easy to love our good parts, our shiny mm-hmm. parts, our triumphant parts, but our wobbly parts. When we're ashamed and scared, it's really hard to love those parts. And what ends up happening is we try to cover up and pretend we're fine when we're not, and we overcompensate. But people see right through that. And because we're emotionally unavailable to ourselves, we're resisting ourselves. We're shoving away a part of ourselves in a closet with a 2x4 saying, just shut the F up, right? Like, don't let anybody know you're scared. That same emotional unavailability with self gets mirrored. And we start to attract emotionally unavailable people.
Yes.
Narcissists, ghosters, all this kind of stuff. Yeah.
I had that that moment of realization. So, I mean, I spoke about this last episode. I was like casually dating someone and it kind of fizzled out. And, you know, my ego was like, well, why? Why did it fizzle out? Like, it was something that I did wrong. And then I started to, you know, like blame him and blame me. And then I went through all those different stages and then I started realizing maybe deep down I'm not 100% ready for a committed relationship. And that is why I keep attracting these men that aren't ready for that intimate, committed relationship.
That's big.
Yeah.
You're so wise. You know, when we are more interested in not getting hurt again, not being rejected, not feeling that pain, we might show up and go on a date. But really deep down, that inner fear is going to sabotage ourselves.
Right. And sabotage is such a word that I sometimes use when I'm dating someone. And I realize that sometimes I could spiral and I'll start overthinking and then I'll start doing things to get a reaction. And, you know, I'm probably not the only person that does this, but, you know, I could sometimes send a text message and I'm like, why? And then I stop myself before pressing send. I'm like, why am I sending this message? If I'm sending it to get a reaction from the person, I'm automatically going to get disappointed because I'm testing that person. They don't know they're being tested and they're going to fail at making me, you know, get the reaction that I want to get. So I guess my question is when someone goes, this is a relationship podcast and, you know, I keep talking about like, getting my heart broken and stuff. So if someone goes through a breakup or whatever, you know, the ending of a connection, let's put it that way. What are the steps to being able to get back to that happy place again in order to attract the right people back into your life?
It's a perfect question because a lot of people skip the steps and they do what I call sprinkles on top of the ice cream cone of shit, and they just pretend they're fine and they get out there again, but they haven't done the inner work. And as you said, it sabotages them. So the first one is to like feel your feelings. And we aren't very good at that in society. We're very good at Facebook, antidepressants, et cetera. Mm-hmm. We're not very good at feeling feelings. We don't know what to do. It's overwhelming. It's intense. Like, how do you navigate that? So the first one is to get like a coach like me or a process where you can really sit in the fire. And I have this little sort of little you visualization. Like, imagine little Dean is inside Dean's heart or little Vanessa is inside Vanessa's heart. And they are hurt. They're crushed. They're devastated. And isn't it true that, you know, in society, we often go in and go, well, let's just have a good attitude and let's get out there again and, you know, have a positive attitude. But that's the sprinkles. And what really this little one inside wants is for us to go inside with the patience of eternity. Just sit there and maybe have a shot of tequila and a bag of chips in the bath and just cry and just let it out. Not 80%, not even 90%, because that residual, what you resist, persists and grows. So be willing to go to the core, the core, the core, and feel it out to the bottom. And once that's done, then I like to imagine, I'm so like visual, but whatever. So I like to sit in the throne, like Queen Vanessa and King Dean, and you sit in the throne and you put in front of you a movie screen of attracting this person as if you chose that for your growth and evolution. No victims here, no blaming here, no blaming of self or other. Like, I chose that mofo because it's to grow my forgiveness, speaking my truth, me being willing to say thank you, but no thank you. Mm-hmm. Me knowing my worth. You know, I'm more than my looks. I'm more than my Facebook likes. I'm more than this. You know, do I really have a worth beyond my title, my identity? Maybe that's what the gift was. So first feel your feelings, then sit in your throne. And there's one other little step in there that I think is important as well. If we have anger, it's not good to go murder people. It's not good to send like threatening texts or et cetera. But that's an energy. I'm a nerd. I interview like, you know, celebrities, but I also interview like quantum physicists as well. And I really want to understand what's going on inside the body mm-hmm. when we're poisoned with this toxic anger. We got to get rid of it. So I have this very politically incorrect process called the Theater of Redemption. And I dress up as this dominatrix and I go with my clients and we just, you know, and it's all in context, and don't worry, I'm not an evil person, but we mutilate the identity that hurt, not the soul of the person, mm-hmm. not the heart of the person, but just the identity that was a meanie. Mm-hmm. We just mutilate that person, and we get it out of the body so it doesn't reside inside. Because I lost my mom at, what, she was 61 of cancer, and I swear it's because she just didn't get rid of that toxic anger from all those years, and she taught me, honey, get rid of this. You know, it's not healthy.
I agree.
Before we jump into our next segment, I do want to talk about one thing, and that's the Amazon Fire TV. Holiday seasons are coming upon us, and obviously part of that means that you need to be getting gifts for your loved ones, for your friends, for your family members, whoever it is, and why not give them the gift of endless entertainment? And through the Amazon Fire TV, you can get that for them. I personally have one, and it's my favorite thing that I own, and I'm not even joking. Because it allows me to stay home and watch Netflix endlessly.
What do you like to watch on Netflix?
I just finished The Good Place.
Oh, awesome. Ted Danson.
Like I said, hours of entertainment that you can enjoy through the Amazon Fire TV, whether it's through the tens of thousands of channels that they offer, the apps, the Alexa skills. Amazon Fire TV brings all live TV and streaming content you love to the biggest screen in your home. That's another reason to love it as well, as a lot of times you'll find yourself watching TV on your phone or on your tablet, whatever it might be. And the screens are not the best. Obviously, they're portable, but it's not like watching it on a living room TV. And Amazon Fire TV allows you to have access to all of those things while sitting in the most comfortable room in your house and watching it on the biggest screen in your house. You have things like Netflix, Prime Video, Hulu, YouTube, all of those things and more.
One of the things I love about Amazon Fire TV is I'm a big Alexa fan. Mm. I have a lot of Alexa-enabled devices in my home. And I love that I can just, like, ultimate laziness. Like, I always thought sitting on the couch and channel surfing is, like, the laziest thing possible. I don't even have to lift my arms. I just sit there, I talk to Alexa, and I ask it to play, open YouTube. And it just, and on the Fire TV, it just opens up YouTube and all my, what I like to watch supercuts of all the Transformers transforming from the movies. I don't like to watch the parts in between in the movies. I just want to see them transform from cars into robots. And I ask Alexa to open up YouTube. It's already recommended because I watched so many of those videos and I can just pull them right up.
Sometimes the Amazon YouTube things, YouTube recommendations embarrass me.
Yeah.
Because I'll like watch like. Video game footage of like StarCraft 2, like sickest Terran macro versus the Zerg, and then my roommates will like get on the Amazon Fire TV later on in the day and they'll be like, why is there a bunch of nerdy video game recommendations for this game that looks like the nerdiest thing in the world? And I just shudder in the corner.
It wasn't me,
but they obviously know that it was me. Anyways, that's what's great about the Amazon Fire TV is because you can pull up full-length YouTube videos on your television. You don't have to watch them on your computer. You don't have to watch them on your phone anymore. You can watch them right there on the biggest TV in your house. And all you have to do is ask Alexa to do it. Alexa, Google Transformers Transforming. Boom. You're watching Transformers Transforming on the biggest TV in your house.
You have the iHeartRadio app, of course. You can be listening to this podcast through your Amazon Fire TV. If you're doing that right now, that's incredible. If you're doing that right now, send us a DM and tell us about it. That's great. You can watch, like I said before, YouTube, Netflix, Hulu. Fire TV is the perfect gift for the entertainment fan in your life for this holiday season. And let's be honest, who's not an entertainment fan? Everyone loves to go to the movies, watch TV, watch YouTube videos, watch Transformers transform, watch StarCraft videos, all that stuff. We all love it. So it's the perfect gift for literally anyone that you know. And they would love to have it. So if you go to Amazon.com/iSuckPodcast, you can learn how to buy an Amazon Fire TV for yourself, for your family, for your friends. Maybe you have a boyfriend that you want to buy to impress. Maybe you have a girlfriend. Maybe you have both. Maybe you just want to buy Amazon Fire TVs and hand them out on the street to random people. Those are all great ideas. Go to Amazon.com/iSuckPodcast and check out the Amazon Fire TV. Promise you won't regret it. You will have, like I said before, limitless entertainment at your fingertips, at the tip of your tongue, because all you have to do is talk to Alexa. So Amazon.com/iSuckPodcast. Be sure to check it out. Be the hero of this holiday season. Surprise your friends with the greatest gift of all. Check it out.
I think that, you know, sometimes it's all a matter of like ego and your emotions. And we had these conversations with Dean, Jared, and I, and I say it's a lot easier, you know, to be the person that, well, actually, I don't know anymore. So if you're being the one that's being broken up with, you have all these unsolved questions, right? And sometimes you want to know why, but in some cases, you'll never get the answer to why, and you have to give yourself your own closure. And being able to give yourself that closure is hard, and you want to reach out to that person, and you want your answers. But actually, I just posted on my Instagram a quote, and it says, any relationship you have that could get ruined by having a conversation about your feelings, your standards, and or expectations wasn't really stable enough to begin with. And it's so true.
You know, it's really great that you're bringing this up for both of you. And maybe we can do like a little exercise here for a couple minutes for each of you. One of the reasons I'm such a successful coach is I don't judge. I unconditionally love. I don't fix. And I'm this really deep space to get people and make them feel safe, seen, and understood. That's rare. Most of us, when we share our feelings to somebody, they have a rebuttal or a justification, or they give a reason, or they're not even listening, or they, you know, and thus it spins in our head. Communication is a two-way process. A lot of people don't know this. They think it's just talk. No, that's only half of it. Unless it's received by another with no judgment, it stays spinning in our mind for decades and decades, and it makes us crazy. But as soon as you're received and not agreed with, but just understood, it dissolves into nothing. And so I'll be your ex right now, if you want to play. And so just start talking to me, and I'm going to receive you, just so you can get it out of your system. And if, Dean, you want to play too, we can just get it out of your system.
I'll just receive it. I'll receive Vanessa doing it.
You don't want to
play. Are you not a giver?
I'm more of a listener than I am a talker.
Well, what do you want to say? Just like
just
totally 100%.
Just get it. Just be honest. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with all of us.
I don't think there's anything specific that I want to say. I think what I would want to say, I value respect a lot. And respect in the sense that respect for me is like communicating and being honest and valuing a person's time. So I guess for me, it would be, why did, you know, it take a week or whatever, I don't remember how long it was, to communicate your feelings when all along, like the entire time we were casually dating, we were very upfront and honest about where we were and what we wanted. And the minute, I guess, doubt crept into his head, it took him a while to be able to put it into words. And instead of being like, hey, you know, I need a minute to just like sit with my thoughts and figure this out, it was like, let me ignore you for a couple of days. And then I started to think I did something wrong. And then I started to reevaluate the things that I was doing. And then doubt started creeping up in my head. And I'm like, oh, there's, what did I do? I started dissecting things that I was saying and doing. And but then deep down, you know, that time alone made me realize, like, yeah, I know I don't want to be with this person.
Mm. Okay, so can I give you feedback?
Yeah.
Okay, so for like about 10 seconds or 15 seconds, you were actually talking right to him, but then you started talking about him mm-hmm. in third person, and then you went up into your mind, and then you started analyzing everything. This is the Achilles heel of me, everybody. This is what I've learned. When we start to go up in our brain, it just keeps spinning. But if you could actually like direct it to me as if I'm him, in a way that makes it land, and in not only say the why, but let them know how it makes you feel, and like fully like blah, the whole thing, it'll actually stop spinning. All the questions will stop spinning. Yeah. I promise. So take two, go.
Ready, go.
Well, this is. I feel like the last. So I don't feel like there's any form of I'm very neutral about this situation right now. So there's no. I woke up this morning like okay, I don't feel anything, and I guess it's because it's been, you know, it's been a while since this term ended or whatever you want to say. So there's nothing that I personally need to get out. I don't know if Dean needs to get anything.
The chapter's closed for you is what
you're
saying.
Yeah, the chapter's definitely closed. And the thing is, I knew I didn't want to see, I didn't see myself with him long term. I knew my ego got in the way of me being like, all right, well, we're both on the same page. Let's move on. So
my only coaching would be, and maybe do this with a shot of tequila and a bag of chips in the bath or something like that. But I encourage you to consider there could be a little anger, maybe not sadness, maybe sadness, but this idea, if somebody doesn't respect you, right? Like there's a fury around that. There's how dare you? So my coaching would be do like 5 or 10, how dare you? Just speak it out. Just speak it out. Just to like 100% be sure that nothing's left in there. And then for bonus points, where did you disrespect yourself in the process? Where did you not respect your truth? Where did you not honor a red flag? Where did you something like that? So
from
did
the
that
beginning.
Bring up? Okay, the beginning. Okay, so what did you learn about where you didn't respect yourself? Because he's just a mirror.
Right.
On a quantum physics level, nobody's even out there. It's all light. Really. Like, you know, so he's you. Isn't that gross? But yeah.
Oh. I mean, he's not the most attractive. No, I'm kidding. I think I.
Yeah, I knew it. There was still some fury in there, that little comment. So
right. No, I was just kidding. No, he's very attractive.
I think you're attractive, is what you're saying.
No, I'm trying not to insult him. I don't think anything badly about this person. I think we both knew where we wanted to take things. I think for me, where I disrespected myself, or actually I knew there were red flags from the beginning, but I tend to give people a second chance. I'm like, you know what? I think the first few times you interact with someone, I call it the audition process, where they're not truly authentically themselves. And I want to be able to give them a chance to really show, give them a chance to be, you know, for them to be who they are. So I'm like, okay, maybe the red flags are there because he wasn't really himself.
I've started doing the opposite of that. I've started, whenever I meet someone, setting the bar intentionally very, very low for myself. Mm-hmm. That way later on, there's only room for improvement.
For yourself or for
myself,
the person you're
dating? Like, I will talk more crap about myself than anything else. And that way, anything positive that I do is always like, oh, look at that.
But you do that to the person you're dating?
If I'm going on dates, I'm just like, unabashedly honest about all of my shortcomings.
Really?
Yes.
See, I feel like if a female does that, a guy's like, oh, like I don't want to deal with all these issues, or she's too insecure.
In all transparency, it took a long time for me to get all of this straight. Like I've had 2 divorces, a crazy custody battle. So I'm not saying like I'm some perfect guru, but what I do know is that when we give people a second chance from our mind, like it's the right thing to do, we often don't listen to our intuition and instincts. Mm-hmm. And the more we can balance the wisdom of our body of that and not over rely on our mind, which is often connected to fear, hesitancy, doing it right, looking good, blah, 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 we make better decisions. So how does that resonate?
Yeah.
Yeah. I do have one. I have one counter argument that you made earlier. I think you were saying something along the lines of, "Love yourself first. Love yourself for your flaws, and stop trying to hide them and overcompensate." I wrote something up about this the other day because I believe so passionately about it. I think that self-loathing is the vehicle that drives us to self-improvement, right? And so if you sit back and you're like, I accept all of these flaws that I have and I'm perfect because of them, that doesn't necessarily make you strive to better those flaws. You know what I mean? And so if you're constantly down on yourself for these specific things, you're like, I'm going to set out to improve these things about myself.
But some things, like, let's say, I don't know, there's some things that, like, I wish I had, you know, like a bigger butt, let's say.
So go to the gym and do some
squats. I know,
squats.
But there's like my butt can only grow as big as it gets. So I'm going to have to appreciate my butt for what it is. It's like, okay, well, this is the butt that I was blessed with.
One thing you want to understand about science and energy is what you resist persists. Anything you push against, you put energy into. So by loathing a part of you, you can motivate yourself from fear, but it's a whole different thing to be inspired by your creativity and your love. And yeah, a lot of people can get results by hating the shit out of themselves. But at the end of the day, that is still keeping all of that self-hatred alive. And it's going to bite you in the ass, and you're going to attract somebody that's going to judge you as harshly as you're judging yourself. I'm not saying sit in your ass and do nothing. I'm asking you to check into the motivation. What if you're just present? Not loathing yourself, not saying your flaws are fine. Making friends with your flaws doesn't mean you don't need to do anything about it, but it means you're stopping the resistance and you're actually being centered, grounded, present, aware, discerning, motherfucking badass. That's who I am. That's what I'm creating. And that's where I'm going. Totally different than cruelty and loathing and unkindness. Because if you do that on the inside, I guarantee you, you're going to attract a partner that's going to do it to you eventually. And I don't know your relationship past, Dean, but if women have not honored you, respected you, been the wind in your wings, up and for you, it's only because that's inside what's going on within you. Does that resonate at all?
A little bit.
Yeah.
I think just inherently I'm an incredibly sarcastic person, and I kind of tend to attract the people that are equally as sarcastic back to me. And I think with that, you get like a lot of like joking jabs, which, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes there's a little bit of truth in those,
I guess.
Truth,
yeah.
I don't know.
I feel like, you know, when your room, for me, if my room is a disaster, that's how my brain is feeling. It's a reflection.
Yeah.
It's a reflection of how I'm feeling internally. And sometimes mm-hmm. I try to ask myself, okay, well, if I'm attracted to this person, or if I'm saying yes to go on a date with this specific person, why am I doing it? I want to know the whys behind it. Am I doing it for validation? Am I doing it?
Yeah. Great question.
Yeah. So I'm at that point right now where I'm actually very happy being alone. And I want to be able to focus and refocus my energy on the things that matter the most to me. And then the rest will fall into place. I compare it to when you're looking for a specific purple dress with yellow polka dots and you go shopping, mm-hmm. you're not going to find it. Because you're constantly like, that's all you're looking for, and you're ignoring everything else that's in the store. And then that one day you're going to go shopping. You're like, oh, my God, it was like right on that rack. How did I not see it? So I'm applying that to my dating life right now, where I'm going to just go with the flow, and the right person will come along when the timing is right.
I like that. When I met Florence Henderson, you guys are so young, you know, the Brady Bunch.
Of course.
She said that the most important thing she wants to teach women, but I think it applies for men as well, is to fall madly in love with being alone.
Mm-hmm.
And that means you're not going out there to get attention or get approval or fill some void within you with a relationship. And so, like before, I said, you're present. You can choose. You're in your best state, aligned with your creativity, your intuition, the divine, however you like to believe that. And that, to me, is your most sexy, attractive self, is when you don't need anything. So I completely love that. And I do appreciate the wisdom, the wit, and the brilliance of people that are sarcastic. I think they tend to have higher intelligence than most people, right, to make those kind of witty jokes and stuff. But I think they undervalue their vulnerability, like their true, mm-hmm. True vulnerability, true transparency. and they kind of fluff it off with some jokes, because at the core of the core of the core, I don't think they're as balanced with emotional intelligence as intellectual intelligence. And sarcasm ultimately has this little digging edge. And my experience, at least with my clients, they can still be funny as shit. They can still be brilliant and witty. But when that little edge goes away and something inside balances into this equilibrium, the relationship that they attract next is extraordinary and healthy and rich and intimate. And before then, it was always just a little bit of a block of to that person, a little bit of an edge, which is... If you're interested in all of that really deep, incredible lovemaking and divine, intimate communion of being with your best friend, we want to put down every last one of our walls and let them in all the way. And it's not possible if we're not in all the way to ourselves.
So I have a question. You said you went through a divorce. You were divorced twice?
Two divorces, yeah.
Okay. And are you married now?
No, I'm in a wonderful relationship. Okay. No, I'm not married. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're in a wonderful relationship. So people keep telling me, Vanessa, stop worrying. When you know, you know. Does that apply? Because I'm like, well, how come I've never known? Like, is it because none of these guys I've ever dated were the right ones for me?
Well, you guys are in your late 20s. I'm in my late 40s.
I love you. So I'm in my early 30s.
And I'm in my mid 20s.
Okay. Well.
I'm kidding.
Okay. Well, now that we're all clear. I married my first husband. He was a tall, dark, and handsome multimillionaire, and I was an insecure little girl looking for daddy's love. That's really what it was. And I was a model in Japan, and he was this, you know, Wall Street broker, and I was all googly-eyed, right? But I really wanted him to save me, and what I needed to do was save myself and love myself. So that ended. And the second one was when my mom, as I mentioned, was dying, and I just didn't have the courage to face the pain of losing her. So I just wanted another relationship and let's have a baby so I don't have to feel this pain. Let's just move on. So it was kind of very masculine and controlling. And obviously that one didn't work and it went into a 10-year custody battle where I lost everything that my ego appreciated. I lost my house. I lost my savings. I went into all this debt and I even lost some custody. And it was humiliating. But it was the best thing for me because my ego was still running the show. I was still trying to look good, do it right, win. I was still striving. I wasn't at peace in the moment. I wasn't at peace in my body. I wasn't at peace with the divine. I wasn't at peace anywhere. And so with this inner work, and I call it like coming home to yourself, I have this relationship where I hope you guys like me. It would be cool if you did, but at the end of the day, I don't give a shit. And I used to really, really care so bad. And that inner, I'm enough. I'm not perfect at all, but I'm enough. That attracted this depth of relationship with this man where I can open my heart all the way. Like my best friend died when I was 16 and I shut my heart and I thought, you know, I'm never going to be shocked like that again. And when I looked in his eyes, I could open all the way. I'm like, it's okay if you die first. It's okay if I die first. I'm not going to close my heart again. And I know it's because of the inner work that I've done with this intimacy that I'm talking about, where even if I'm rejected, like he dies, even if he leaves me, I know I'm okay. And it seems to attract really rich, ideal matches. I don't believe in like one soulmate. I think there's like probably quite a few people that would be an ideal match.
I believe that too.
You'll be able to attract someone that's for you. And this is another thing I want you guys to get. You probably get this, but if you don't, or the listeners don't, I used to think we only want a partner that's all good and for us and everything's a contribution. And we, you know, if there's something about them that doesn't work, well, then they must not be the one. Here's the deal. We all have a purpose. We all have a mission, vision, purpose, right? Our partner will equally challenge and support us for our mission and vision. That's how you know it's an ideal person for you. No one is perfect. No one is going to not challenge you. But do they challenge you in a way that brings out the best in you or the worst in you? So you want somebody that challenges you to be more of who you are, not undermines you and pulls you down. Does that make sense?
Well, so, yes. So you say that every person has multiple people out there for them. What are your thoughts on polyamory then? Because this is something that I've talked to Vanessa and Jared about, maybe in brief before. I'm just curious, like, what are the thoughts? Because it's like pretty widely accepted as taboo in a sense.
Well, if we get to know each other over time and you read anything that I do, I have like no judgment. I have clients that are all sorts of different, you know, desires for sexuality or same-sex partners, etc. I'm all about getting somebody to their truth. And not everybody's wired the same. Some people are wired more for monogamy. Some people are wired yep. more for polyamory. Some people are wired more for same-sex. Everybody's wired for something different. It's not about what's the right or wrong, good or bad. It's what's
like
true for you. And are you willing to be brave enough to live it? That's more what I would say. So if you are interested in many partners, then be authentic. Tell the truth. Don't lead people on. But be who you are.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I want to highlight that. Be authentic and be honest about it. So I want to ask Dean this.
Oh, boy.
Were you into monogamy before moving out to Los Angeles?
What are you saying? I'm not into monogamy now?
Well, no. We had this. I posted something last time and you're like, oh, we're not supposed to be monogamous beings. And
it's unnatural.
Like, yeah, well. So was it something that, are you now aware of that, of how you feel because of being in Los Angeles? Because I tried dating out here and a lot of people that I was interested in did not believe in monogamy.
I don't think it's the proximity of being in Los Angeles that has made me question things. It's just, I think it was my therapist that told me this, is, you know, I've been in many unsuccessful monogamous relationships. And mm-hmm. she goes, well, why don't you try other types of relationships?
Oh.
Suggesting like polyamory as one of them. I'm like, well, that's weird to me. But the only reason I think it's weird is because society is making
right.
me think it's weird.
Right.
But it's like you remove the marriage and religious and mm-hmm. practical aspect of being in a relationship. And it's like, well, what do you have? You have a lot of polyamorous people.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, you look back. We watched that Netflix show, mm-hmm. Explained or whatever it is on monogamy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like you look at bonobos or chimpanzees, which are like the closest relatives of humans, mm-hmm. and how they are all polyamorous and how it just is very natural for them. And it's just like, okay,
yeah.
well, now the only reason that we are monogamous is because marriage tells us to be that way, religion tells us to be that way, or just a society, even if mm-hmm. you're neither religious or what, I don't know.
Yeah, well, I think it's a combination of both. And Alana, you mentioned this too. If you're wired to want to be monogamous, then everything else doesn't make sense. Like for me, I believe in monogamy, strongly believe in monogamy. I don't know if it's my upbringing or if it's my traditional family, or it's just the way that I am wired. But I've thought about it. I'm like, even the idea of a threesome for me.
I couldn't do that.
Oh, I'm surprised you've never had a threesome.
I'm way too like sexually repressed. I'm
really.
I'm very prude when it comes to sex.
Okay, that's your homework until I talk to you again.
Have a threesome.
Go.
Sounds pretty exciting.
Wait, me, you, and who should we invite, Dean?
Well, Mark and Easton are both spoken for.
Sorry, I'm very busy.
I'm busy that weekend.
That weekend's really bad for me. Yeah.
Well, there's something about what we repress, what we resist, it grows. And so even if just in your mind's eye, and you don't actually do it physically, I still challenge you to do it. I also challenge you to read Sex at Dawn, if you haven't already, because it explores more about this idea of polyamory or monogamy. Whatever you resist will persist. So I say go there in your fantasy mm-hmm. so that you can get rid of any taboos of yourself, so you can get closer to what's true for you. And remember, there's always going to be equal support and challenge with any relationship, monogamous or polyamorous. Casey, there's no, you know, green card, there's no hall pass here. You're not going to get out of life without challenge or pain. So like lean in and face it and choose something that really works for you. And one of the things I would give any of the listeners that are in a relationship, I always say to my boyfriend, like, I will never change you. And I will always be the woman that you would leave me for. And I challenge you to be the man I would leave you for.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm choosing on round three here not to get married again, because I don't think the institution is terribly supportive. But mm-hmm. I love being in a monogamous relationship where we challenge each other to, one, be the person that we would leave each other for, and to challenge them to be their best self and not have any control. And they're not a possession. Whatever we try to possess, we push away faster than anything. So I don't possess him, and I'm not his possession. We choose to be together, and it's hot. And the minute we start to think each other is the source of our worthiness or our happiness, we're screwed.
I do want to talk to you guys about a couple things, and one of those things is StoryWorth, which is a company that I just learned about. Easton just learned about it as well. Vanessa, I don't know if you've heard about it or not, but what StoryWorth is a fun and easy way for you and your loved ones to share their stories with weekly emailed story prompts and questions you've never really thought to ask. And so the reason that I love StoryWorth so much is because my family is really weird, and we've done a lot of weird things separately in our lives. And whenever we come together, which isn't very often, we'll share those weird stories, those weird, ridiculous stories. But what StoryWorth allows is you don't have to always be together in order to fully understand what's happening in your sibling's life. Of course, you know, you're having phone calls and texting them throughout the weeks, the months, whatever it is. But there's like some distinct stories that I just think are worth like sharing with your siblings and having a keepsake and having it around forever. Like my brother, for instance, my second oldest brother, who I talk to maybe like once every 6 months. I love him to death. He's just like an off the grid kind of guy. That's just how he prefers it. And whenever we get together, he'll like tell me a story of how over the past 6 months he was like camping in the mountains of Yellowstone, and he was like encountered a family of grizzly bears, and how he had to like outrun them and they were chasing him, and he like,
oh my God,
ran up a tree, and then they obviously can climb trees, so they climbed the tree. I swear this is a real story. He said he was running and then the bears like ran to his camp to try and eat some of his food, and like he like slapped a bear on the butt. And I don't know if I believe that he slapped the bear on the butt, but the fact is it's a hilarious story that now, thanks to StoryWorth, we can have that memorialized forever, along with a lot of the other ones too. Like, obviously, a lot of the stories that I share are kind of ridiculous, and I don't necessarily see the point in keeping them. But what's great is my siblings will be able to refer back to them long after I'm dead, which is probably going to happen sooner rather than later. And that's what you can do too. So what StoryWorth does is, or what you can do with StoryWorth is, you purchase a subscription for someone you love, and each week they'll send them an email with questions about their life. It's simple. You basically reply to the email. You can record it over the phone by calling the StoryWorth number. All the stories are private and only shared with the family that you choose. And after a year, those stories will be bound into a beautiful keepsake book. And so it's cool. Every year you can just kind of have a new book about the past stories of the year, right? And so it's like you can look back in 10, 20 years when you have a family, and when you have these family reunions, whether it's Thanksgiving, whether it's Christmas, whatever it is, you can look back and look, oh, in 2018, Ross, remember when you slapped that bear on the butt in Yellowstone? And he'll be like, yeah. I mean, I don't know how long I would be sounding like in 20 years from now, but that's what's so cool about it. So if you go to StoryWorth.com/help, our listeners will get $20 off their subscription. And that's great because these memories are yours and your family members, your friends, and they will last forever thanks to StoryWorth.
Even if you like have the foresight to write down all these great stories, and I know you have an insane amount, it's so much cooler to be able to hand someone like a real, like a book that you can hold in your hand, that like tactile energy, as opposed to like emailing someone a Word document or something.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I really like about this is, like, if I have some crazy story that I am prompted to write, but from StoryWorth, like, for example, they send out these questions like, what are your favorite movies? What do people get wrong about you? What's your secret? That's a story in itself. Then I can just hand someone a book and be like, hey, check this out. You'll learn everything about me.
What's great about it too is, I don't know, I'm sure you have a direct experience with this as most people do, is as stories get told throughout the years, every time that story gets told, like a minor detail changes.
Yeah.
And then after the 20th time that story's changed, it goes from a family of two small black bears to a pack of stumbling grizzly bears yeah. that were foaming at the mouth, like that kind of thing. And so what's great about StoryWorth is it kind of maintains accuracy of the story.
It keeps you honest.
It keeps you honest. And I'm guilty of that. I tend to embellish stories for the sake of dramatics, etc. I have friends who are even worse at it than I am. And so what's great with StoryWorth is, like I said, it's all written down. You can hand them the book. You can keep those books on the shelf. Keep, obviously, the online URL as well. So basically, you'll have access to these stores at any time. And it's just a beautiful thing because it's like, obviously, we all get this sentimental feeling whenever we share the stories that we share sitting around a campfire or just around a dinner table, whatever it is. And this is a great way to kind of keep them around forever and ever. So again, go to StoryWorth.com/help and you'll get $20 off when you subscribe. And like I said, they're going to email you guys weekly. You can obviously like assign who you want to get emails, all that kind of stuff. And it's just a great way to keep in touch. It's a great way to like open different avenues of conversations that you never really would have before with siblings, with family members, whoever it is. So check it out. I'll give you the URL one more time. It's StoryWorth.com/help. That's H-E-L-P for $20 off your subscription. Check it out. And like I said, I wanted to talk about two things while I'm just rambling on over here. Sometimes I get sick of just hearing myself talk.
You have a lovely voice, though. It's a lot of fun.
I'm a little congested today.
Yeah, that's okay. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you. Something that I think that Ashley Iaconetti would maybe be better at discussing is this, is Hers. Have you heard of Hers? So Hers is a women's wellness brand delivering prescriptions straight to your door. And what's great about that is, like, look, obviously it's a woman's prescription, or it's a woman's wellness brand. So I'm not going to be using it directly. But what I love about it is obviously we're living in a day and age of basically having things on demand delivered straight to our door. But one of those things that's hard to get delivered to your door is prescription medication. And one thing that's so important about skincare, especially, is that prescription skincare is so much better than marketing, or just like off-the-shelf skincare. Otherwise, you're just paying for the people that spend the most money on marketing versus paying for the thing that your skin actually needs. And so what's great about Hers, and what I love about Hers, even though, again, I'm not using it because it's a women's wellness brand, what's great about it is they are a prescription skincare brand that delivers straight to your door. So it's not about you needing to change something about your face. It's about finally receiving products that address your needs, like acne, sunspots, uneven skin texture, enlarged pores, scars. These are all concerns that can be addressed with science, and Hers addresses that science. Products with active ingredients found at a dermatologist's office.
My wife is super into skincare. It's one of her great passions, and I know nothing about it. She always says, like, if you're not using, like, science-based prescription skincare products, and like it's almost like not worth doing.
Right.
She taught me the difference between chemical and physical sunscreen. That's a very important important thing to worry about, especially here in Southern California, where we have no ozone layer and skin cancer is rampant.
Yeah.
So the thing I like about Hers is it takes all the guesswork out of it. It really helps you. First of all, it comes right to your door, like you said, which is super convenient. But it also helps you pick out what's right for you.
It's beautiful. It's wonderful. Helping people all around the world. And so right now, our listeners, Easton and Vanessa, can get a trial month of the customized acne kit from Hers for 20% off right now while supplies last. See the website for full details, but this would cost hundreds if you went to a doctor's office or a pharmacy. And obviously, it's a day and age where convenience and price are very important to people, and Hers has kind of tackled both of those issues. ForHers.com/Dean20, and you'll get 20% off your very first customized acne kit from Hers. Check it out. Let us know what you think. Again, prescription-based skincare products, significantly better than off the shelf. If you're struggling with acne, anything like that, I wish Hers was around when I was 16.
I know, right?
Because I, as most teenagers do, struggled with acne so bad. That's part of why I just like have kind of adopted a holistic approach. But Hers has been proven to work. I know Ashley loves Hers. She talks about it all the time. Even like Jared will come in and talk about Ashley using Hers and how she's got Hers prescription delivered to the house and all that kind of stuff. And I know Ashley struggles even to this day with Hers acne and stuff. And so when she has a breakout, it's nice for her to be able to have the Hers prescription delivered straight to the house. So check it out. ForHers.com/Dean20. 20% off your very first subscription. And have clean skin for the holidays.
I feel like it's a pretty strong statement to be the person we'd leave each other for.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't that just rile you up?
Yeah.
But that means you would be your best self all the time. You wouldn't take them for granted. You wouldn't rest on your laurels. You would be your most authentic self. And thus the other person is so inspired by you being your most authentic self. And if your most authentic self is not a match, then bless them, release them. Mm-hmm. Let them go be with their most ideal match. Your worth, your safety, your security, your approval is not based on them. That's unhealthy. It needs to be based on the inside.
Right.
That's when you're centered. And
we've discussed that quite a bit in the past, because we'll have like listeners email in and have questions about their relationship. And quite often we'll see this codependence that is like very unhealthy. And it sounds like that's kind of what you're anti. You know, maybe to a certain degree, you want to have the codependence, but you want to be able to exist outside of that partner of yours.
Yeah, you want to be healthy in all eight areas of your life. You know what I just realized? It's 11:51, and I have my client from the Netherlands, like, right now.
Ooh.
At 11:50, so I need to go.
Alana, well, thank you for calling, and we appreciate all of the words of wisdom that you had to impart on us.
Thank you, Dean. Thank you, Vanessa.
Thank you so much.
You more, and I'd like to hear how your challenges go.
Oh, we'll circle back with you later on.
All right. Much love to you both.
Take care.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
She didn't really have much to say in the terms of sex, which I was expecting.
Because an intimacy expert, you think, would be more sexy.
Right, exactly. Intimacy, she meant more like connecting and being vulnerable and all. I thought it was going to be more sexy.
Still great.
Times.
Still wise. I feel like she's like on a path to enlightenment almost. You see things like
release attachment, intimacy with self, tell the truth. I feel like those are all necessary steps, like on your path to enlightenment, in my eyes.
So, Dean, we keep talking about like people I'm dating and the people that I'm not dating and the people that screw me over and all that. What's going on in your love life?
Oh, you're gonna turn around and put it on me.
Yeah, I have no idea.
I kind of like dating? That you don't have an idea.
But this is a podcast on relationships.
Yes, I think it's been known that I'm dating. I'm going on dates with people.
Okay.
It's going okay.
So are you going on dates with people because you want to be in a relationship? Or are you going on dates with people because you're like, I want to flirt and I want to be intimate? Not intimate in terms of sexy times, like intimate in terms of connecting with someone.
I think that you can achieve a level of closeness with someone only by going on dates with them. Like, you can't achieve a certain level of closeness with like close guy friends, you know, mm-hmm. because like there's just like certain limits, barriers to places you can get with them, I guess. So yeah, I've been going on dates. October is always a tough month for me. It's funny, this is something that I experienced last weekend. So October 24th is the anniversary of my mother passing. And I always get like closed off and emotional mm-hmm. and like dismissive of
people.
It's good
that you're aware of it.
Yeah, and so like this year I've been going on a few dates with this one girl consistently, like once a week or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And I made her very aware of this. I'm like, look, like this is a tough time for me. Just so you know, like I'm gonna be closed off. I'm gonna be like probably hard to talk to, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And she's been like super supportive, like even like surprised me with like a few gifts that would like remind me of my mother and like all that kind of stuff.
Oh,
very
sweet.
Thoughtful, very kind of her. And then like the other like a couple days ago, I was like being short and like hard to talk to. And then she got like really upset with me because of that. And I was like, you can't get upset with me because like I told you like this is something that you should be expecting. Like this is a difficult time for me. I'm being like who I am, every like the truest self that I can be. And like I'm sorry if you don't like it. If you don't like it, like you can leave. I don't want you to leave, but like I also don't feel like you should be attacking me because not attacking me, but like getting upset with me because
right.
of this.
But I also feel like women are extremely patient to begin with, and then we're nurturing beings and we want to be there for the people that we love and that we care for. Do you think maybe like I dated someone who did absolutely nothing for my birthday and sent me like the most generic text message and other exes of mine were like sending me flowers and saying, hey, let's grab dinner. Like you're never in town. I want to see you. And so I told this person, I feel like you're romantically lazy and and he's like, well, I'm just not good at this stuff. And I'm like, but you're using that as an excuse. Mm-hmm. You're saying I'm not good at that. But instead of acknowledging that you're not great at it and that you want to be better at it, I don't want to have to deal with like, oh, well, you know what? I'm not going to expect anything or
right.
He's
setting the bar low, like Dean was talking about earlier.
Right.
Well, and what I was going to interrupt Alana when she was talking too, but I decided not to, is one of the best things about not dating anyone is the fact that you're never going to disappoint anyone. And I feel like that's one of the things that I'm dealing with is like, if I'm not dating anyone, then no one's going to be disappointed in me because I typically tend to disappoint people that I start dating at some point to some degree, you know. And if I don't have a significant other.
Do you think it's because were you always as open in communicating your...
Oh, no, I'm getting better at it, for
right,
sure.
Right, so maybe that's why the disappointment was there, because you weren't aware of how you were feeling and then not being able to communicate. Because girls, like, I romanticize relationships, and, you know, if you're giving me the signs that are like, oh, I really like her, and then you do something that proves to me that you don't like me, it gets me so confused. So, does that make sense?
Yeah, it kind of does. I'll give you guys some more insight into this dating relationship that I've been in for the past couple weeks or so, months, whatever it is. Again, very casual dating, but we've assigned a word, a safe word of sorts, where I am a person that very much depends on my alone time. Like I like to be alone, not as often as I can be, but I have a very limited amount of social energy. And we assigned this word, the word is spatula. And if something comes up and she's like, hey, like I want to hang out with you, and I'll like say spatula, and that's the word saying like, it's not that I don't want to hang out with you. It's just I need to be by myself and be alone right now. And that's something that I never would have communicated before. Before I'd be like, yeah, like let's hang out. And then I would be like absent from the conversation or absent from hanging out. You know what I mean? That's something that I've been working on as well. But then that like leads to, again, more disappointment. It's like, hey, like let's hang out. And I was like, oh, I'm spatula. Like, I don't really feel like hanging out right
now. Is there
now.
A quota where you can say spatula, like, maybe 5 times in the
certain
week?
Certain number of spatulas in the drawer.
Well, yeah. Initially, we set limitations like, okay, we'll only see each other once a week maximum. Like, we won't see each other more than once a week. Now it's like, we'll see each other twice a week every once in a while. And it's like, obviously, like, expectations begin to mm-hmm. grow. And the higher the expectations get, the more there is room for, like, being let right. down.
A lot of patience right. required. Dating a Dean Unglert.
Oh my gosh, I can't even imagine. If I had a daughter, I would tell her to stay.
But I appreciate that you're honest about that. I appreciate that you're aware of it.
Right, but honesty can only get you so far to the point where I'm still going to disappoint someone at some point.
I always say this, be careful who you hang out with because you might just end up with them. So you might just casually be hanging out, like I was casually hanging out with someone and then obviously I started growing feelings for the mm-hmm. person because you start being more intimate and you start opening up and you start connecting on different levels. But deep down, I'm like, no, I know this is not my person. And then you start developing these ideas of the future and all that. So I always say, be open to dating, but also be careful with the people that you let in. Because you might just end up with them.
Back to the guy you were dating who did the bad birthday message.
Right.
Did he at least make the balloons show up?
When nothing.
He
texted
you? Nothing? Come on. That's so
nothing.
Easy.
Just like, right? I'm like, just send me a lollipop that says, hey, suck on this. Like something.
But that's the thing. And him saying, I'm not good at that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about effort.
Right.
Like if he had done something and you hated it,
mm-hmm.
that's when you can say, well, I'm not good about that. But you would have appreciated
it
because it put some effort into it. What
right.
he was saying is, I don't want to do that stuff for you.
Here's right. the challenging thing from his perspective, though. Say he does go out of his way to do something.
Then I'm
going to
start
you.
Thinking, oh, there's something more.
Exactly.
Right. I thought about that, too. I'm like, all right, cool. But then, like, kept calling me all day. And I was with my, like,
oh, he was calling you all day?
Calling me and FaceTiming and calling and FaceTiming. And I'm like, hey, I'm with my family right now. We're my sister, my brother, all born in September. So we're all celebrating together. And then I get home. All right. I get home and there's a package waiting for me in front of my door. And I'm like, yay. And it's my best friend that sent me fruits.
So he was trying to FaceTime you.
He was FaceTiming
me. And that was his big birthday.
Right.
Maybe he had a surprise waiting for you on his end of the
nope.
FaceTime.
Nope. I answered FaceTime and I was like, nope. Nothing there.
And Dean, I worry that this is all a self-fulfilling prophecy for you. Like, I feel like if you went into a relationship without that in your head, that I'm going to disappoint this person,
mm-hmm.
I know that's easier said than done, then you wouldn't disappoint this person. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like you're disappointing them because you tell yourself you're going to.
But it's also, you might just be dating the wrong people.
But also, let's think about it this way, guys. Let's say I go into a prospective relationship, all odds against it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And somehow it still manages to break through all these filters and turns out to be something. Then I can say, against all odds, this relationship worked out, which means it must be something that's good. You know, against all these negatives, against no matter how low I set the bar, no matter how honest I am about mm-hmm. all of my shortcomings, whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
here we are. We're still we're in a relationship. And because of all of the, like, you've seen me at my worst. And so now we get to grow together.
I get that.
I don't know. I'm not saying it's right.
But I just want to say I'm so proud of you for being self-aware and being open about, you know, doing therapy and being open about being open about how you feel and all those things with the person that you're dating. Like, every girl wants that.
It's very refreshing. And it's kind of weird, too, because it's only happened maybe recently over the past, like, what? How long have I been single for? 6 months? Where I'm like, look, this is who I am. I don't necessarily care if you want to keep dating me or not. This is just, like, who I am. And this mm-hmm. is what you would be dealing with on a regular basis, like, if we were to continue hanging out. When before, like, 3 or 4 years ago, I would, like you said, it's like an audition process. We're mm-hmm. like, oh, here I am. I am this person, and
right.
I drive this car, and I make this much money. And I'm like, no, I'm unemployed. I don't know what I'm going to do with my life. Like, this is me. Just you know, take me or leave me kind of thing. And more often than not, as I've experienced, it's been like,
it
okay.
It works out better.
Yeah, it's like welcomed with open arms. It's like,
well, that's like, yeah.
Is part of it that are you a guy that's, you strike me as a guy who has not had trouble finding women who want to date him. Is that accurate?
Come on, Dean. We all want to date you.
I don't know. I don't know how to answer that question.
No, he's being humble. Yes. Women flock to him.
That's what I'm saying. And I'm wondering if part of it is that. Like, I wonder if you would be more...
less attractive?
No, no. I wonder that if in a relationship, you would be more all in...
Mm.
If it was less of a commodity, if it was less common situation. I'm trying to understand.
Like, oh, because he knows there's other options.
Yes, right. There's always going to be other options. Right. For a guy like me, and I'm going to include Ethan in this as well, when we back when we were single and a woman was interested in spending time with us, like, holy, that's the greatest thing ever. I'm going to move heaven and earth to make sure she's always happy and never wants to go anywhere else.
There's something to be said about, I'm not going to say you guys are obviously 50 or 100 years old, but before.
Right. It's very different. Dating has changed in the last even 5 years.
That's true. That's
very
true.
Less connected, right?
Right.
So
yes.
The only people you really knew was like the small area that you were growing up in, the 80 people that were close within your proximity. But now it's like you're connected to everyone in the world.
You're right. That's true.
I'm not going to say that's the reason behind anything. I'm just saying there is also, it's like a paradox in a sense. It's like the more people you know, the more challenging those things become. I don't think that's necessarily what afflicts me. It might to a degree that I don't necessarily understand. But like, I don't know. I'm just waiting for that relationship to come along where it's like, I don't care about anything else other than this.
Okay, so now you got me thinking, Mark.
I
should go for a guy.
No social media.
That basically is like, this is the only girl that ever gave me attention.
Well, he will treat you really well. I'll tell you that.
I did that, and now that woman has to find a judge and an attorney to leave me.
I mean, slide into my DMs, guys. I'm open.
What's that meme where it's like the first guy who thought of marriage was a weirdo? He's like, I love you so much. I want to get the government involved.
I don't know. I mean, maybe, maybe not. But it seems to me that Dean's a great looking guy.
Hey,
I don't mind telling you that. And I'm a guy that I miss that a lot of times. Like, people will say to me, that guy's so hot. I'm like, really? That guy? Like, it didn't even occur to me. Uh-huh. Dean, the first time we were like,
very
oh,
striking.
Wow, look at that guy.
Yeah. Okay. And I will say, a lot better looking in person.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, yes.
No, you do. You have a presence, and it's like, it's striking.
All right, fine. Keep going.
I know how uncomfortable you get when people give you compliments.
I just can't imagine what that's like. And so I wonder if it changes your outlook on the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, but same with beautiful women.
Right.
Same kind of thing.
See, the thing is, do you realize? That you're good, like, do you realize, because you say, like, oh, I mention all my shortcomings and I talk about how I'm this and that. Do you realize all the qualities that you do have, and do you own that?
I think those negative qualities are also my positive qualities. You know, it's like when you're in a job interview and they're like, tell me your strengths. You're like, oh, I work too hard, I care too much. It's like your shortcomings are also your strengths.
No, okay, so let's do this. If
my willingness and openness to like identify my faults also, I think, is good, because without identifying them, you're not able to work on them.
That's good. It's good to be aware of those things. But also, I don't think you're aware of your positive qualities as much as you should.
Right.
I want to talk about two more things before we jump into the final spot, the final segment of the this week's episode. And thank you so much for tuning in and listening up till now. We've talked about it before. I want to talk about it again. 23andMe. They're fantastic. Like we said before, they're a DNA kit that gets sent to your house. You spit in a tube. You send it back, and they analyze all types of your DNA and basically tell you where you're from, what you might be susceptible to in terms of potential illnesses, things about your sleeping patterns, your earlobes, everything you can possibly imagine. 23andMe is able to kind of unearth a lot of things about ourselves that we didn't know before. And so I've used 23andMe. I actually used it years and years, well, like 2 or 3 years ago, and they delivered the kit. I got like the health kit, so I wanted to know more about my ancestry, like where I was from, but then you can also upgrade and like understand maybe like some health risks that you might have. So I got that one as well. And I remember I spit into the tube, and I didn't read the directions properly. Like, I was so excited to open my 23andMe kit and get it sent back and get my results that I didn't read the directions. And I closed the tube, and I like peeled the box apart and like totally ripped it in half. And they're like, yeah, reuse this box and send it back to us. And I was like, no, crap. But I messed the tube part up, where once you put your saliva in the tube, you have to seal it and you can't reopen it. And I contacted them, and literally with the very next day, they sent me a whole new box, whole new tube, everything. I was devastated. I was like, I don't want to wait any longer to get these results. But literally, the best customer service. They got me a box literally that very next day. Like I said, it's easy to do. You just spit into the tube that they send you and your 23andMe kit, register your sample to your personal 23andMe account. And then a few weeks, you receive your personalized online reports. I remember I was actually traveling through somewhere in Europe when I got him back, and I like just sat down.
So fun.
So it was fun because I was like, I'm from a lot of European countries. And so I was like, oh, I've been there, blah, blah, blah. And it was just fun to like sit in and like kind of deep dive into everything that they're able to tell you about yourself. So,
yeah, I have a friend who is adopted, and I gave her a 23andMe kit as a gift because she's like, oh, I don't know my background, everything. Not only did it tell her what her genetic makeup was, it told her who her birth family is.
Not really?
Yes. She was able to get in touch with them, and they met up, and she has this loving new part of her family now.
That's amazing.
These people she's never known, but she's related to. And it was really a like huge deal and a huge part of her life to do this, something she really thought was just going to be like, oh, I'm 28% Cherokee, you know, yeah. Things like that. And I thought that was pretty amazing that it can do that.
Kind of a humble brag for yourself, because that's you basically granted her that, right?
I did. She thanks me for changing her entire life amazing. With that gift.
And so for the listeners out there, if you want to potentially change one of your friend's life, feel free to jump on 23andMe.com/Dean, and you'll get 30% off of your 23andMe kit.
This is through Christmas, so this is a huge holiday gift idea.
Fantastic gift idea.
Through December 25th, you can get 30% off the 23andMe kit.
Imagine someone opening their gift the morning of Christmas to a 23andMe kit, and their life being changed forever, just like Easton changed his friend's life. Incredible. What an incredible gift. Some traits that they can also identify are like cilantro taste aversion, ability to match musical pitch, misophonia, which is...
That's interesting. It's like what noises people like and what... like, because some people hate the sound of fingernails on a chalkboard. Like, hate it. I find it quite soothing. I enjoy that sound. Just like I enjoy cilantro. These are all things that your genetics make up and determine about you.
Interesting. One of my friends, I think I talked about this before, he works at a genetics company. He goes, yeah, 23andMe, they're legit. They provide a lot of interesting information. It's like fun stuff too.
Yeah.
Which is like maybe even better than the like super great informational stuff. It's fun to learn about these weird things like your mosquito bite frequency or like Easton was talking about, the misophonia that you experience that you're unaware of, because it's like if you don't go around identifying these things, you're kind of just like, oh, this is how it is, this is what it is. But then if someone's telling you or something's telling you like, no, this is a thing that your genetics make up the way that you feel about this. Which is a really interesting thing. So check it out, 23andMe.com/Dean, and you'll get 30% off of your kit order for the holidays. They also have a great podcast on iHeartRadio. It's called Spit. They talk to a lot of great people. They kind of like deep dive into a lot of very historic figures and kind of their genetic history and all that kind of stuff. So check out Spit as well on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you listen to podcasts. Okay. So one thing that I want to talk about before we jump into our final segment as well is something that's near and dear to my heart, and that's Third Love. And they're near and dear to my heart, not just because they're helping sponsor this podcast, which without them, obviously, we can't have the podcast, but because they're helping women everywhere. Did you know that over 10 million women have taken this quiz to date, Easton?
I did not know that. And what quiz would that be, Dean?
Did you know that 50% of women fall in between standard cup sizes, Easton?
Oh, I did not know that.
It's actually fun to take this test too. So what you do is you can jump online, you can answer just a few simple questions to find your perfect fit. They have everything, cups A through H and bands all the way up to 48. So any size human will be able to fit into these Third Love bras. And like I said, 50% of all women fall in between standard cup sizes. And so Third Love decided to invent this half cup sizing. And I think that can make a big difference. Obviously, I'm not going to be wearing them regularly, but I've heard Vanessa rave about it. And Vanessa, please stay quiet while I finish this spot. I know you want to chirp in and talk about your Third Love bra, but I just want to talk about it because, again, I'm feeling passionate about it today. I know you've been raving nonstop about this Third Love bra. You love that there's a 100% fit guarantee. You love that Third Love's team of expert fit stylists are dedicated to helping you find your perfect fit. And if you don't love their product, which you will, returns and exchanges are free and easy. So what you should do as the listener, if you're interested in pursuing and acquiring a bra that's going to be comfortable and fits you properly as it should, go to thirdlove.com/Vanessa. And Vanessa, please stay quiet. I know you're trying to chirp in some more, but thirdlove.com/Vanessa now to find your perfect fitting bra and get 15% off your very first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/VANESSA for 15% off. And I'm going to spell Third Love because it's not 3RD. It's thirdlove.com/Vanessa. Third Love knows there's a perfect bra for everyone. So right now, they're offering all of you guys 15% off your very first order. And back to before, it's great to get presents for other people for holidays, for Christmas, for Thanksgiving, but get something for yourself. Get yourself a properly fitting bra.
I mean, I've definitely written some down. Like, oh, like I... I have like three that I wrote down. I was like, oh, I love how open-minded I am. I love how accepting I am. Like, that's
what would make you a great partner? And then I'll do the same.
That's a good exercise.
That's a great exercise.
Yes. And this is nothing to do with physical appearance.
No, nothing. Do you want me to start?
Sure.
Because I'm like, I got a list of things that I know would make me a great partner.
Okay.
I don't know why I just turned Southern there, but okay. I'm extremely loyal.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Extremely, like, to the point where if a guy will like talk to me at a bar, I will not even give them the time of day. I'm like, nope, got a man. Like, I'm not even going to give my energy to another man right now. Mm-hmm. Very loyal, very affectionate. And that's one of my biggest love languages. Like, I love to just, like, physical touch for me is very big. I'm very thoughtful. If I'm at the grocery store or somewhere and I see something like a banana or whatever, you know, if I know my man loves chocolate chip cookies, I'll go to the chocolate chip cookies aisle and I'll buy him a box with, like, and I'll leave a little note there.
Wow.
I respect people's space. I'm not like, let's not like hang out 500 hours in a day. I like to do my own thing, and I like coming together when we both have the time to dedicate to the relationship and actually be present. Very encouraging. So whatever my significant other is doing in terms of his work or his career, I will be there to cheerlead
him on.
If he's like, you know, an aspiring writer, and right now he doesn't have like his book is not anything, I will be like, if that's what makes you happy and that's what makes you smile in the morning when you wake up, then I will encourage you to do that. I cook. I clean.
Wow.
I'm great in bed. I mean, the list just keeps going on and on.
Let's expand upon the I'm great in bed.
Well, that's a good question.
What makes you great in bed?
I'm really shocked that you said that you're a prude in bed.
We're going to get back to that.
Yeah. I'm not.
Okay.
And the thing is, like, I don't sleep around. And people who could have those casual relationships, that's great if you're able to do that. And like Alana was saying, some people are wired to be monogamous. I'm wired to be monogamous, and I will only be intimate with people that I'm in a relationship with, or that it's leading to being in a relationship with. So I'm very selective with the people that I get intimate with.
So what makes a person great in bed?
Yeah.
What makes a person? I think.
Well, first you have to be hot.
No, you don't need to be hot. I think it's confidence. Confidence in knowing what your body needs, as opposed to like, oh, let me try doing this because I think it's going to please that guy. Like, everybody's made differently. And I think it comes down to being comfortable with knowing what it is that you want in bed and, you know.
Not self-conscious. I know that's
not self-conscious. Yeah. Yeah. Like, of course, there's certain things about my body. I'm like, oh, I wish I had this. I wish I had that. Blah, blah, blah. Like cellulite on my ass. But I'm like, you know what? I got a bubble butt, and I'm going to have some cellulite on my ass. And that comes with the fucking territory.
But that's who you are. And if they're there, they're enjoying you for who you are.
Right.
So you shouldn't be. There's too much of that. There's too much self-consciousness, in my opinion. We are who we are.
But
so that's good.
What makes you a dynamo in the sex, specifically?
I forget what the word is.
The positions?
No, I wouldn't even say that. I think it's,
Do you allow, like,
what's that word? Like,
explorative,
yeah, adventurous.
Adventurous. But like I forget, there's like a specific word. Like
a lady in the streets and a freak in the sheets.
Yes.
But you're also a freak in the streets too. You know that, right?
No, I'm not.
So what is it, the same list? Because it might be. What makes a guy great in bed?
Great question, Mark.
Well, for me, so it might be different for other women. Feeling a form of connection. So not like being robotic, like, you know, like, no, I can please myself better.
So what's the connection? Is it eye contact?
Eye contact. I think it's like, for me, it's like physical touch and like not going straight from, yes, Dean. Oh, yeah.
Dean is now massaging Vanessa's left shoulder.
Oh, that's actually, there's like a knot there. Not going from. Like if it goes from like making out to like straight, you know,
too fast. Yeah, has to be a steady build,
right?
Okay.
I mean, let's put the pressure off of me.
Okay,
so you're a fan of foreplay, is what you're saying. That's what you're saying in less words, I feel like.
Perhaps.
Okay, there you have it. The key to Vanessa's heart.
No, it's food. Actually,
some food and foreplay.
Food, yeah, definitely bring me food before.
At the same time.
Oh, God, yes.
Okay. That Seinfeld episode where he eats pastrami and then every time he eats pastrami, he gets all hot and heavy. That's pretty funny.
Is any of this even going to get on?
Yeah, we're fine.
Oh, okay.
Dean,
yes.
You say you're a prude when it comes to that stuff. You said threesome, no way.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I went to college.
Okay.
Wait, so you did have a threesome.
I've had one threesome in my life.
You lied.
How did that go?
Tanya's in the back with the major side eye. Bye. It was, I mean, I've only had one, so it didn't go well enough to have a second
only one.
Wait, was it with someone that you were dating seriously, or was it two women or men, women?
I kind of got pressured into it. It was a situation where they're like, hey, you need to do this. And I was like, all right, well, let's throw some back and do this, I guess. I don't really want to get into the semantics of how it happened, but moral of the story is I've had one and only one. And college was a thing that
I experienced.
And you
say you would not do that again.
I have not done it.
No, that's not the question. You're saying you would not do that again.
I've been propositioned multiple times to do
it
again.
See, this is what I'm saying. The life of Dean is so unrelatable to most men. He's turning down threesomes left and right.
How many threesomes I've turned down?
It's not like every Friday night I go out and it's like, oh, hey, let's have a threesome. Ah, sorry, not into it. It's I can barely, if even, satisfy one person at a time. And so now you throw a second person in there? Come on.
Dean, stop.
It's the self-deprecating thing.
Yeah.
It's not.
No. Okay. Well, let's go back to what would make you a great partner?
So we got a list from Vanessa. We need Dean's list.
I mean, listen, my list, and I could keep going.
Mm-hmm. I think I'm fun and adventurous.
Oh, yeah. Fun was a good one for me, too.
No, you're not fun. You can't steal my
We're talking to Dean now.
Okay, sorry. Here you go.
I think I'm open-minded. I think that similar to you, I'm very supportive and encouraging of people's passions and dreams. And I think that I will always lift someone up and always be that person to do that for them. What else? I think that I'm a great cuddler. I think that...
What's your top love language?
Well, actually, Tanya, funny enough that she's back there, made it clear to me that it used to be physical touch. But now I think that it's acts of service. I love it when I get my back scratched or my neck scratched or something like that.
Well, I guess a little bit of both.
Right. But I always chalked it up as being physical touch. But I think she made it clear that it's more of like an act of service
right.
sort of thing. And I'm a simple guy. You know, that's all I really need.
Some back scratches.
And some alone time. Spatula. I don't know.
Spatula.
That's the thing. Like, I still obviously am figuring out exactly what makes me a great partner. But I think those qualities, like, at least at the forefront, are enticing.
Well, I would add to that. I think you're a very kind person.
Sure.
And mm-hmm. I think you're funny. And I think a lot of people put a lot of value and sense of humor. And I think you're very mm-hmm. funny. And I think you have a good heart. And that probably goes along with kindness. But just knowing you for an hour a week for a year now, you just seem to me like a person with a good heart. And I think in some ways, that's kind of all that matters.
Yeah.
You know, you just need to be somebody who's got a good heart. Mm-hmm. And then the rest kind of falls into place.
I suppose. I guess I could see where you're coming from. I don't know. I remember before like Leslie and I started being boyfriend, girlfriend, she made a comment that was like, everyone that I've ever met that has met you like adores you, and like because of that, like I find that so attractive. And so it's like it's the fact that you can have like a big circle and, mm-hmm. and people like enjoy being around you can mm-hmm. be attractive for
yeah, you have great energy.
So those are the good reasons. Now let me get into the bad reasons.
No, we don't want to know.
I'm kidding.
I think those good reasons outweigh the bad reasons. I do. And I know that you think you're a lot, and maybe you're very extra, and maybe you are. But I think that all those good reasons cancel out the other reasons.
Absolutely.
Because I think that's what people are looking for. Fun, mm-hmm. adventurous, open-minded,
and I think
kind.
You need to focus on the good, those great qualities, because that's what you bring into a relationship.
Yeah, but to offset those, I also have a lot of negative
Right, but we all do. I mean, trust me, did you see how proud I was of my list of the good things? I got like probably two pages of things that like...
That's the thing, is you were singing it from the mountaintop, where Dean's like, well, I guess I'm this,
and I
guess I'm fun, and I guess I'm adventurous.
I don't normally compliment myself, so it's a difficult thing for me to do, you know?
Yeah.
And I like that about me. I like that I'm hard on myself. You know? I think it just leads to more... growth moving forward. But as you said, like the self-deprecating shtick is kind of getting old. I get it. I've been living with it for 27 years. Oh, yeah. I mean, I have some friends that do the same thing as well. But maybe to less avail, you know, I don't know. How was your sex with Nick?
Oh, my God.
Let's talk about that for a second.
Actually... Weren't we talking about this yesterday?
We were, but I would love for you to share with the listeners.
Not sharing it.
No?
I'll share for you.
Nothing?
I would appreciate if he... Listen.
I've heard both sides.
I don't tell.
I've heard sex with you guys from both sides.
Shut up.
Wow. That's a rare experience.
Nick's one of my great friends. We talk about that stuff.
And what did he say? No.
Oh, yeah.
What did he say?
I'm not going to tell you.
You're like voices cracking.
Did he have nice things to say about me?
Nick, yes, of course.
Did he have any complaints about that specific element?
If he was here, I'd have no issue talking about it, but he
had some complaints, it sounds like.
No, he didn't. I would love for you to share your experience.
I would never kiss and tell.
You would never answer the question. Do you have any complaints? No, you're not gonna answer that.
What's your favorite position?
Oh my goodness.
This is a sex episode, you guys.
It's an intimacy episode.
It's intimacy, like connecting, Dean. Not connecting two private parts together.
Well, maybe we should make
the... Is it the shorts today that...
Yeah, you're just giving off some type of vibe today. Vanessa's rocking some 3-inch Betsy, what are they called? Daisy Dukes.
No.
Betsy Boops.
Look, I'm trying to hide my butt in the back. I didn't say anything appropriate, have I, this episode?
Not one appropriate thing in the entire show.
One appropriate thing.
I have an email. Should we get to that?
Yes.
Oh, wait, I
want to
ask Tanya. Tanya, what makes a man great in bed?
Someone that listens.
Wow.
Straight out of Lacey Green. I feel like she says it a lot, too.
It's true, though, because I think everybody has different things that they enjoy.
Sure.
When a guy listens, they're going to do that. So I think that's number one.
So someone who's kind of attentive.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
And listens not just to your words necessarily, but to your reactions.
Yeah, got exactly.
It. Okay. All right.
Thank you. Good answer?
That's
a
very,
no,
very good
really
answer.
Good.
Very
really
good answer, yes.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Thanks,
right. Thanks for having me on. You know?
Here's the thing with that, too, is I feel like for a girl can experience so many different kinds of sex, but a guy, not so much. Because penises are vastly different from one to the next. Vaginas are only mildly different from one to the next.
I'm only mildly.
Well... In regard relative to each other, there is a very broad spectrum of penis shapes, sizes, whatever. Vaginas, more or less.
No, I think what it comes
down
to
similar.
Women can experience different types of pleasure.
Penises. Oh.
No, pleasure.
Okay.
Men, correct me if I'm wrong, is it the same feeling every time?
That's what I'm saying, more or less, yes, because...
Right, so for women, we can it's a variation of like...
Well, that's true. That's a good point.
That is literally exactly what I just said.
Okay, I didn't get it when you said it.
I didn't understand what you were saying.
No, I didn't
either.
You
were just talking about different sizes of penis.
I'm just... A male's response and equipment...
Mm-hmm.
Well, his response is always the same, even though his equipment is different. And then a woman's equipment is more so the same, while the response is different. So it's like duality of...
Right. The therefore there's a different definition of great, right?
Right.
A guy's definition of great, because it's going to feel the same every time. So they have other outside factors mm-hmm. that make it mm-hmm. great in their minds. Mm-hmm. Where with women, mm-hmm. the physical response can be anywhere from a 0 to 100.
Exactly. Right.
A guy could close his eyes and get the same result every single time.
Oh,
a woman,
wow, that's
so,
so sad.
That's very true.
Yeah.
That's very true. And I think that's a major reason for some of the gender disconnect.
Wow.
Yes. 100%.
Because it feels very similar every time for the guy.
And that's why I think sex gets better for women over time and for men.
So do you think that's why men don't feel as guilty when they cheat or if they cheat?
Well, here's another difference between the two. And when you get to the cheating thing, mm-hmm. the other difference is
and
for
guys.
And
I was generalizing that. I don't want
understood.
Anyone to think that.
But
think
for guys, it also there's also more of, I feel like, and I could be wrong. I just know it from the guy's perspective. There's more of a compulsory need for it to happen every so often,
right.
whether it's with someone or not with someone right. or with someone else, mm-hmm. as far as that goes. So that's probably a big element to it,
right.
where women aren't as faithful because I feel like they can go a longer time without it.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, there's a connection. There's a deeper...
Right, and that's what they're really mm-hmm. looking for, where guys sometimes just need to do it.
Yeah.
It's messed up.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's completely different.
We're so different.
I don't know what else to say. I think it's messed up. It's pretty unfair that we're put here with these different needs regularly, and then we're expected to have the same needs together. It's like, I don't know. It's a lot more challenging than some people make it seem. You two, for instance,
have been in very healthy monogamous relationships for an extended period of time.
21 years for me.
Yeah, you're bragging now, Mark. We know how.
I like to brag about that, actually.
No, I would too if I were you. Too. I admire that.
Yeah. Thank you.
And yet here you are in studio with two of the most single, disgusting, and horrible people you've ever met.
And that's fun for me. I really am fascinated by that whole world.
Right.
And and especially you were talking about earlier how much has changed over the years. That's all very fascinating to
me. But we don't know. Obviously, like, we haven't experienced the change, so like this is all we're...
Right. No, right. So for me, so when I first started, I've been asked before, like, when you first met Amy, did you Google her? And I have to say, it would have been an Alta Vista search
because
there was no Google in 1997.
Yes.
So no, I did not. But that's how much the world has changed.
Right.
Just not even like dating apps. Okay, yeah, but as far as the whole research you can do on people now, you can figure everything out about them before you even meet them and therefore write them off for no particular reason.
Right. Mm-hmm.
When I met Allison, I went through her Twitter account and there were 3 tweets to go through.
Oh, easy.
Lovely.
Yeah, it was 2008, baby.
Very strong vetting process. And that's the thing, too. It's all changed so quickly and we are just still learning how to adapt and process all of it.
Well, before we get to the emails, remember last episode, I was like, I want a guy to pursue me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had gone out for dinner this week in L.A. and someone actually did pursue me and they messaged me. They got my, you know, they got my contact info from a friend or whatever. And so I'm looking at this person's Instagram account and I was like, wow, the last time they posted was 2017. That's amazing. Like, it's so rare to find that nowadays.
And that was refreshing to
that
you?
That was so refreshing.
Because for some people, that'd be a red flag. Like, no, this guy's lame.
What's he hiding?
No.
Yeah, what's he hiding?
Okay,
no,
get
I don't
the
think
email.
It's what's he hiding. I think it's not a priority for him.
And
I think
great.
That's positive.
But it is kind of nice, like the window into someone's life through social media. It's like, okay, I have a good decent understanding of this person before I get to actually.
Now,
really
do you think everything you see online is real? They're going to put up the best parts of it.
Maybe the best photos of themselves.
Right? Or like, you know, I'm not going to put up the pictures of me crying.
True.
I would.
Sure.
Yeah.
2018.
You're right.
Want to hear an email?
Yes.
Love that.
Sophia would like some help. My boyfriend is 27. I'm 23. We started dating in May. We both see a future together as this has been both of our first relationships in years due to bad breakups. However, he's been offered a new job within his company that's 12 hours a day, 5 days a week, no weekends off, no holidays off.
Oh.
It's also more dangerous than what he currently does, and he wouldn't even get a raise. The motive to take it is because it's an accomplishment.
Mm.
I'm really struggling knowing I'm continuing my future with someone who won't physically be around. I come from a household with an absentee parent, and I raised my youngest siblings because I'm 8 years older than they are. I would never want that for my kids, and I don't want a partner that is never around. I'm not sure if this is a red flag or if it's just life. Should I stay in this relationship? Is it wrong for me to vocalize how upset I am to him? Is this foreshadowing he would choose his job over his family? That's Sophia.
That's tough. So from experience, I was in a relationship back in Colorado where I left for work every morning at 6:30 a.m., got home at 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. My girlfriend worked from like 10 a.m. until 9 p.m., and it was like Thursday through Tuesday.
Oh, wow.
And so it was a very similar thing where we never spent time with each other. And we were together before we both got those jobs. And so we were like used to like seeing each other often.
No need for spatulas in that situation.
Right. And so like the only time like we would stay at each other's houses like 4 or 5 nights a week. But at that time, like you get home at 9 p.m. You're basically going straight to bed.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was ultimately what led to the downfall of that relationship. So I can definitely empathize with her. And I mean, I don't know, like if he's taking the job just for an achievement's sake, I don't really know what that means.
I think he's probably climbing some sort of a ladder within his organization. So it's good for him within the company to be in that spot.
I guess so. My only bit of information or advice that I have is that I've experienced it. It did not go well. I would say try to avoid it if you can.
You're thinking red flag, Vanessa.
I wouldn't say it's a red flag. I don't think he's doing anything wrong. I think he's 27 years old. Mm-hmm. He wants to build a career. He's hustling. That's something admirable. I think there's someone for everyone. And I think every person that's put into our life makes us realize the things that we do want and the things that we don't want. And maybe she's starting to realize that she needs a guy who does have a 9-to-5 and does come home after work and where they can spend quality time together. I wouldn't say it's, he's not going to make time for his family. He's young. He's 27 years old.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably not even thinking of how is he going to split time between family right now. Maybe that's not even on his mind. So, I would encourage him to do what is best for him, because you don't want to be the person that's like, well, I'm going to encourage him to not take the job, and then you're going to end up together, and then if ever you guys do break up and he never ended up with that position that he wanted, you don't want any form of resentment.
Mm-hmm.
I did that. I was in a relationship where my ex at the time was like, I don't want you taking on. I was teaching so much. I was really trying to get higher on the position on the seniority list. And I was teaching during the day. Then I was teaching at night. And he's like, I don't want you teaching at night anymore because I want to spend time with you.
Mm.
And I did that. I listened to him. And after we broke up, I was like, why? Why? Why did I sacrifice all, you know, the years of going to university? And I loved my job so much. And at that point, in that stage, that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to focus on my career. And so if that's what he needs to do, then you need to allow him and let him be him.
I that's actually really good advice. But I think that one of the keys here is my boyfriend and I started dating in May.
Yeah, it's 5 months.
Oh.
You're 5-6 months into this thing.
Next.
like I think of what I was doing when I was 5 months into my current relationship, and I was working, I was on the radio doing 7 to midnight, which is not a very conducive shift. And if someone said, oh, I can't date a guy who works 7 to midnight.
7 a.m.?
No, 7 p.m.
Oh, okay.
It was just a short hour shift, but it's in a prime time for socializing and that sort of thing. So if someone wrote me off because of that, meanwhile, I haven't done that shift in 20 plus something years.
Right.
You know, like your life now is not going to be your life 5 years
so
from now.
So you're saying pay your dues
now. He's got to pay his dues. That's what he's got to do. And by the way, she did say 12 hours a day, 5 days a week. That's 60 hours. That's a lot.
Yeah.
But there are 2 days off in there. So I think you can figure out time to spend together.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can make this work.
It's not, I don't even think it's about making it work. It's just like try it out. And like you said, you've been in a relationship for 5 months.
If it's hell, then it's hell.
It's not like you're married. It's not like you have kids together.
You give this a shot and see how it goes.
But at 23, I wanted to spend a lot of time with my boyfriend. Now that I'm 31, I'm like, oh, okay, let me do your thing. I'll see you when we both have time to see each other.
Right.
So it's different. So I get it.
It's you grow. It's different. Mm-hmm. And hopefully, Sophia, you'll grow together. And this will end up being a great thing. Now, you're getting some cold feet kind of early on.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking for excuses. That could be a bad sign there. But I think the job is okay. And let's see how it goes.
Agreed.
So that'll do it for this week's episode of Help, I Suck at Dating. As always, thank you, the listeners, so much for tuning in. But I want to give one more second to thank our sponsors of the podcast. So big thank you to Storyworth. Be sure to go to storyworth.com/help to get $20 off when you subscribe. Easton?
Oh, go to amazon.com/iSuckPodcast to check out Amazon Fire TV. You can get a Fire TV of your very own at amazon.com/iSuckPodcast.
Big thank you to Hers. If you need prescription skincare and you're struggling with acne, you're not going to regret going there. So go to forhers.com/dean20 for 20% off your customized acne kit.
Big thanks to 23andMe. We love these guys. 23andMe DNA kit. And now through December 25th, you can get 30% off any 23andMe kit. Just go to 23andMe.com/Dean. That's 23andMe.com/Dean.
And lastly, I would love to thank Third Love for creating the comfiest half-size bras in the entire world. So again, go to thirdlove.com/Vanessa for 15% off your entire order.
Anyways, that'll do it for this episode of Help, I Suck at Dating.
There it is.
I'm Dean Unglert. It's been so great having Vanessa in studio for these past 3 episodes.
I loved it.
And tune in next week as well, because maybe next week we'll suck a little bit less.
Follow Help, I Suck at Dating with Dean, Vanessa, and Jared on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.